This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
For the latest in movie news and box office reports, welcome to the Cinema Recap Podcast. And now for your hosts, your friends and mine, John Bonham and Mark Jadson.
All right, and welcome back to Cinema Recap. It's been a few weeks for the holidays, but I've got your hosts, John Bonham and Mark Jadson. Mark, how you been, man? It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. We're officially in 2019 now. We're 6 days deep, and this is the first new Cinema Recap of the year, so excited to be back for sure.
Yeah, how did 2018 wrap up for you?
It was pretty low key. You know, I had been doing stuff the last couple of years out and about on the holiday, whether that's going with my friends and, you know, getting some bottle service or going out to a nice, not a nice restaurant, but a nice hotel downtown with my buddy. But this year I was very much content to just kick back, have a drink or two at home in solitary, and watch the ball drop from television. So there was a lot of rain going along where I lived. So I was kind of happy to just not do much of anything because there's always a lot of crazies on the road on New Year's Eve. So I was just much more content to just relax and do nothing.
I hear you, man. The older I get, the less I think I tend to drink on New Year's Eve nowadays.
Yeah, and if you're going to drink, you know, there's no issues in doing it at home. You know, at least if you get too wild or too crazy, you don't have to worry about getting an Uber or Lyft, and you know, you can just pass out right in your bed and wake up and not have to worry about, wow, am I missing something?
Yep, absolutely. We, my girlfriend and I just had another couple come over. We just had some appetizers, played some games, had some drinks, and I was able to go right from the living room into my bed and pass out. And
it was wonderful. Fun. That sounds amazing.
And were there any other movies that you caught in the meantime?
I caught a few. One of them I'll talk about briefly in Escape Room that debuted this weekend that we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But I did finally get around to seeing Green Book. Kind of a sweet, you know, charming watch. Great performances. It's got some nominations coming up in a couple hours for the Golden Globe. So, yeah, it's I would recommend it. It's not anything, you know, life-changing or anything of that nature, but it's good. It's like the perfect movie to kind of watch over the holidays, and I can see why they did that because, A, it's the holidays. You want to have that good feeling, and, B, you know, it is an awards contender, and usually release awards contenders around the holiday season. So, yeah, kind of twofold.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, I still want to get to that one, mainly just to see the performances. I think it kind of, you know, what I've heard about the movie reflects what you just said, where, you know, it's a good, not a great watch by any stretch, but definitely love Viggo and Mahershala, so I want to check that one out.
Yeah.
I made it to Welcome to Marwen, and this was a movie I was, like, really excited about. I believe it had Robert Zemeckis in the director's chair, who's, you know, brought us Forrest Gump, Back to the Future, you know, phenomenal director. Steve Carell was the star. I thought the trailer for it was excellent. It really got me hyped up. Thought there was going to be this really deep, emotional movie that just, you know, really hit on a few different levels. And it was so bad. I was just completely let down. It was like a really weird, bizarre movie. You don't get like the emotional connection with Carell that I thought you would. He just comes off as a little creepier and like distant from society. The whole dolls thing, it was just bizarre and weird. And I don't know why it didn't strike me in the trailer how awkward that was going to be, but it was just a movie that did not work at all. And I think it was definitely one of the biggest flops of the year and certainly one of the movies I was the most wrong about.
I've heard similar things. I forget what the final tally of it is on Rotten Tomatoes, but much of what you said too, the clash of, say, tones or, you know, just the little aesthetics are are really confusing, and it's very jumbled. The emotion's not there. I've heard that if you want that story, there's a documentary called Marwin Call. I think it came out 2008, 2009 in that arena, in that year frame, that really does make a really emotional watch, opposed to this one that just came out.
Yeah, it sounds like that's definitely the route to go, is just to stick to the documentary on that one.
Yeah.
Well, with that, should we dive into a quick box office recap here then?
Sure, absolutely. I don't think much has changed, but yeah, let's go ahead and hit it since it's been a couple weeks.
I'm putting the burden of lousy movies back on you. It's very simple. If you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making bad movies.
Uh-oh, the jig is up.
Alrighty, sounds good. So number five, we've got Bumblebee dropped two spots from number three, brought in 12.7 domestically, up to just under 300 worldwide. Not one that either of us saw. I don't think there's a ton of interest there really for another Transformers movie.
Not on our end, but it does seem like this is the best reviewed Transformers, even better than the first one. So I think it goes without saying that this is, I'd say it's at least the second best movie in the entire franchise. I've heard good things about it. It's just, unfortunately for me, it's just going to be one of those things that I get to, you know, probably when it hits home media, just because I've been so wrapped up in, you know, Oscar fare that even the good reviews just hasn't really been enough for me to really want to go and spend my money on the movie at this point in time yet.
Yeah, I do like they did kind of a spinoff as opposed to just piling on another, you know, full-blown Transformers movie, which have just been getting awful reviews for years now.
Right.
But, yeah, definitely not one that I'm going to watch until it's free to stream.
Right.
Number four with $13 million is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's up to 275 worldwide. And, I mean, this is like one of the best reviewed movies of the year.
Yep.
It's actually one that I've been meaning to check out. Haven't gotten a chance yet. Did you watch this one, Mark?
No, I was going to watch it on New Year's Day. It's just one of those things where I thought that I was going to have it kind of easy going in at 9:30. But, you know, when I opened up the app to check out how the seating was, it was like already 95% packed on a 9:30 on New Year's Day, 9:30 a.m. So it was one of those things I said, I think I'm just going to wait until maybe the end of its theatrical run, maybe in the next couple of weeks to finally get to it. And at that point, I know it'll be out of the top 10. But, I've been hearing the same thing. It's an amazing watch, one of the best of 2018. Does a lot visually, and has a, you know, pretty basic but still pretty emotional story. So I know I have to watch it. It's just I didn't want to settle for a mass seat at 9:30 a.m. On New Year's Day.
Well, if anything, I think that speaks to how good the movie is, because it came out mid-December, so 3 weeks in, still, you know, filling theaters like that. It's always a
absolutely
good sign.
Yeah.
Down one spot to number three is Mary Poppins Returns with 15.7 million up to 257 worldwide. Honestly, I don't know a ton about this one. I think it's gotten pretty favorable reviews with Emily Blunt taking over the reins as, you know, Mary Poppins here. Had a big cast. I'm sure it's a fun, you know, family, probably, you know, more of like a younger audience focused movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably not what I'm going to check out unless I'm forced to, but I'm sure it's a, you know, a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's about in a nutshell. Emily Blunt, I feel like over the years she's proven she can do a lot of different things, a lot of different characters. So her playing Emily Blunt, or not Emily Blunt, she's Emily Blunt, her playing Mary Poppins isn't a shock to me. With musicals, there are some that I like, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan of them. The most recent one I really, really enjoyed was La La Land, but I feel like everyone liked La La Land just because of how you know, visually impressive it was. So again, my focus has been so much on the Oscar fare that I've kind of tapered off on some of the other more recent releases. But I'm sure, like you said, it's a good one. You know, it's a good one for a family or for a date night, et cetera.
Yeah. And I mean, man, to your point on Emily Blunt, she's definitely got some range. Mm-hmm. You know, she's total badass in Edge of Tomorrow. And yep. I hate to say it because Tom Cruise is like my favorite actor, but I think he's even outperformed by her in that one. And, you know, a few years later, we've got her playing Mary Poppins. So she can really do it all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, with 18 million in the two spots, we've got Escape Room in its first week at the box office. And I will let you take over with this one.
Yeah, so I saw Escape Room this weekend, and if anyone's seen the trailer, you know, you'll definitely get vibes of Saw with a little bit of Cube, a movie from the mid-late 90s. Going in a little deeper, it's got heavy elements of, like, The Running Man. It's got heavy elements, a little bit of, like, The Purge, Nerve, Final Destination. So it is kind of like a mishmash of all those different types of movies. That's to say it's not necessarily original. It definitely has picked up, you know, the craze of escape room. I've never been to one yet, but it's on my bucket list. Hopefully I can get to it this year, or one of them this year. But, yeah, it's not necessarily original, but the concept is, you know, kind of cool. So it's got that going for it. And it's not a terrible movie for January. In ways, it's predictable, but in ways, you know, it did some things that I didn't think that it was going to do. The direction's really good. It's directed by the guy who did Insidious, The Last Key, and his name is slipping me right now. But he's got a really, really good eye for certain scenes. Like, obviously, this is an escape room, and it's a deadly escape room. It's like four or five different sequences, but each one has something different about it. Like, you've got heat that plays an element in one. You've got cold that plays an element in another. And there's another sequence where the entire room is like flipped upside down, and it's like reminiscent of a bar. And then one of the more standout ones is one that they actually had a disclaimer for when my usher at least gave me a disclaimer like, hey, if you're sensitive to lights, flashing lights, this is a seizure inducing moment. You might be sick out of this movie, but that was another standout. So the direction's not bad at all in this movie. It's definitely the best thing about this whole movie. It's pretty basic. It's solid until the final act, where they are definitely trying to set up some type of universe for this entire for this escape room franchise. Not to say a whole bunch, not to really spoil it, but it feels a little different than like the first two acts, which aren't great, but they're good enough. They do enough to keep interest. The last act is just, let's throw some exposition here, and let's really try to broaden this out, because we might have something that could extend itself into a franchise. And I found that kind of, oh, really?
Interesting. That is one I did not expect to be going with, you know, multiple sequels into like some sort of universe by any stretch.
Yeah. I think it was like a $9 million budget, and it made 18. So it's obviously doubled that. And, you know, it's only going to do a little more next couple of weeks. So no matter what happens after this point, it's not necessarily an expensive movie to make, but the director that they got for it, his name is Adam Robitel. He's pretty talented. So this is the first time I've seen him do something. So I'd love to see what he does next. But they definitely set it up to where they could take a sequel and do this again, whether it's actually another theatrical release or if it's more of like, you know, on demand, you know, Netflix, let's just get this out. But it's not bad. I've seen much worse than January.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, it's already, you know, made back its, or double its budget, so you figure that they'll probably greenlight the sequel pretty quickly, probably give it three times the money, and there's obviously an interest in this type of movie, so expect some more from Escape Room franchise, I suppose.
Yeah, I would be kind of surprised if we did get something with just how they leave it pretty open-ended with like a clear tangent to what they want to do next. And it's at 53% of Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't great, but it's not horrid either. I think I was reading something on Reddit where it says 50 to 60% for this type of movie is almost like a drama getting 80 to 90. You know, it's not terrible. So the dialogue is horrid in spots, and the acting is not great overall. There are some pretty good performances, but overall, I'd say it's pretty mediocre from a cast standpoint. But it's the concept. It's a well-worn concept, but it is a concept I think people will, you know, at least be interested in seeing what can be, you know, drawn out and devised from these type of rooms. And on that front, it's not bad. It's all right.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll give it a watch if I can find it on Prime or Netflix later this year.
Sure.
And for the third straight week in number one, we've now got the highest grossing DC film, or at least of the new Justice League franchise. It's Aquaman, back with another 30.7, bringing its worldwide gross up to 940 million. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there hasn't been one of these Justice League movies or spinoffs that has gotten over $1 billion yet.
I don't think so. I would think it would have been Wonder Woman, but if that news is coming out, then I'm guessing it didn't.
Yeah, so, you know, I haven't checked this one out yet. I have been meaning to. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's getting amazing reviews. I think it's getting pretty good reviews. Seems like it's a good, fun time. I think, you know, director James Wan kind of, you know, took his own way with it. It's not very connected to the rest of the Justice League franchise, which is probably a good move just because it's stumbling so hard right now.
Right.
But, yeah, and I think, and even dating back to Justice League, one of the few bright spots of it was Jason Momoa as Aquaman. So there was definitely some interest going into this one, despite some of the negativity that's been surrounding DC as of late. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a good time. Mark, is this one that you're going to check out?
One day. It's not high on my list right now, but I've heard similar things. You know, it's the second best DC movie that they've had, you know, so far at this point. So I feel like they have to keep on just building positive momentum wherever they can. 64% right now, Rotten Tomatoes. So the thing I've heard is it is kind of long, 2 hours and 32 minutes. But it doesn't take itself so seriously. It kind of is tongue in cheek in a lot of ways. So I think that's kind of a plus, you know, with compared to what some of the other things they've done. But yeah, I will check it out eventually. I just don't think I might be able to get to it before it ends its theatrical run.
Yeah, I might try to sneak in like right before it's out of theaters, maybe just catch like an early Sunday matinee, but definitely wasn't one that I was going to, you know, go to on opening night.
Right. I'm with you.
All right, and so that wraps up our recap of January 4th through 6th at the box office, and we will pause for a few moments now to hear about some friendly podcasts of thatmomentin.com.
We'll return after these messages.
Hi, we are the Retro Cinema Podcast.
We were both teenagers in the 1980s. That was a long time ago.
And we only do 80s movies that we loved then and we still love now.
Yep, I'm Gidget Von LaRue.
And I'm Angry Man.
And we are the Retro Cinema Podcast.
Yep, you can find us at theretrocinema.com and just Google us for any listening information you need.
Oh, Connie, you're all muck and muscle.
Oh, Heather, please.
Hello, everybody. This is Jason.
And Aaron.
And we are the hosts of the For Better or Worse podcast. Like most couples, we have pretty different tastes.
There's a lot of things we agree on, of course, but it can be pretty difficult to find something to watch at the end of the day.
She likes comedies, love stories, and dramas.
And he likes anime, horror, sci-fi, and fantasy.
So we both thought it would be fun to force each other to watch our favorite movies, shows, or anything else we can think of, and record it here for you guys.
The show is a lot of fun, and it's not always torture. Sometimes we actually come around to each other's side.
We would love for you guys to give us a shot, so download For Better or Worse anywhere you listen to your favorite shows, and join us in the fun.
We can't wait to share our experiences with you.
All right, and welcome back to Cinema Recap with John Bonham and Mark Jackson. Mark, I know our main focus today is going to be, I think, a top five of essentially non-blockbusters, or maybe we'll say anything that's not Disney or Marvel, that's coming out in 2019. Before we get there, I think we'll just do like a real quick run through of what we can expect to come out this upcoming weekend at the box office. In my opinion, outside of one movie that's coming out the weekend of the 18th, there's not a lot going on in January. But I'm going to breeze through these really quick. If any of them are interest of you, please feel free to delve a little deeper. But the major releases for January 11th are A Dog's Way Home, Replicas, and The Upside.
Coming soon to theaters.
Yeah, so I've heard with The Upside, it's kind of already been getting, you know, pretty meh to negative reviews. It's 55% right now, which is, you know, firmly average, but I feel like that's probably going to drop once it, you know, is released wide, more or less. I've seen the trailer actually numerous times before some of the movies I've been checking out. And, you know, there's been some times I laughed. I don't know, though, if the drama part's really going to hit with me. It seems like I could, if I go watch it, there could be some tonal part issues I have with it. So it's not something that's immediately high on my, you know, to-do watch list. I'm getting a feeling it's probably going to be pretty average, but that's just me. That's just my takeaway.
Yeah, I did a preview of January movies coming out, and when I looked into this one, it's getting pretty negative reviews so far. It's a remake of The Untouchables, which I believe is a French film, which is very, very highly rated. Yeah, it's really highly rated on IMDb. And from what I gather is this was just not a film that needed to be remade, or they just did a poor job remaking it. On top of that, I don't love Kevin Hart. I was a little curious to see him in a dramatic role, but based on the reviews, I kind of just lost all interest in this one.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, you know, I'm not going to knock a guy for trying to, you know, expand his wheelhouse, so to speak, and, you know, take on more, you know, challenging things. And it seems like this could be that for him. But the things I've seen in the trailer, I don't think I can, you know, buy hard. It's like a dramatic, you know, weight, if you will. It's just, there's something about him. I just can't see him be serious that much. So, yeah, I'm probably out on this one. Might have some time, maybe on Saturday or this weekend, check out. I might lean towards this, but it's not something I'm necessarily excited for.
And any thoughts on Replicas or A Dog's Way Home?
I've not seen anything really for A Dog's Way Home. I've actually seen some marketing for Replicas over the last week or so, just 30-minute TV spots. I've not seen a trailer, so I'm not going to go on my way to check out a trailer or anything like that. But, yeah, you know, with Replicas, starring Keanu Reeves, you know, I think Reeves is really good when he's doing one or, you know, two specific things. I think sometimes when he's, you know, really asked to do some of this other, I don't want to say out there stuff, this is a sci-fi movie, but the pieces I've seen from him, it's just, I don't find him compelling doing this type of movie. And I like Keanu Reeves for what he is, but for me, I'm just not excited about him in this movie if I go watch it.
Yeah, for Keanu Reeves, I lose interest if the movie doesn't have Matrix or John Wick in the title. So I'm out on this one. I have watched some of the trailers. I don't think it looks very good. Just, I think it's going to be kind of a cheap-looking sci-fi film. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, because I do like Keanu Reeves too, but I think he's a pretty one-dimensional actor, and unfortunately, I think this is probably out of that dimension.
Yeah, and I've heard one really good piece or something that sums up Keanu Reeves a little bit. It's like, he's a good actor, you know, when he's kind of acting really physically, he can, you know, put a lot into what he does. But if you kind of lean on him a lot to, you know, deliver really, you know, strong lines of dialogue or stuff where he's just, you know, just delivering dialogue, he's not that type of actor. You know, it's kind of hard for him to sell a movie on just that, you know, aspect. So I'm probably out on this one, probably.
Yeah, him trying to convey emotion is a challenge. But, I mean, you got to credit the guy. He puts everything into his movies. If you look at the training he goes through for John Wick, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't doubt him on that stuff. It's just, Talent-wise, you know, if he's got to sell drama, you know, I can probably rattle off 20 or 25 more people that I would trust a little more. But no, I'm not knocking guy. He's entertaining. You know, it's just it kind of is what it is at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, he's got a genre or type of movie that he's good at, and he crushes it. So
yeah, no,
just stick to that. So that's what's coming out next week. Not a whole lot going on. So I think we'll go ahead and shift gears here into our top five non-Disney Marvel / blockbuster that we're excited for 2019. I think I did still kind of go into the blockbuster movies a little bit. I couldn't really help it.
Sure.
But with that, why don't you start us off here with one that you're excited for that's coming out?
Yeah, so this trailer premiered around Christmas Day, and it is none other than Jordan Peele's follow-up to Get Out, Us.
Yes.
Saw that trailer probably two or three times, you know, with the screwed and chopped, you know, classic. I've got five on it by Loomis. I don't know what this is going to be, what it's going to tackle. It very much looks like a you know, home invasion movie mixed with, you know, I don't know, some type of doppelganger aspect. But knowing Jordan Peele, he's going to have some type of subtext in it, whether it's, you know, racial, societal, you name it, maybe something else that doesn't even touch on that stuff. But just on the success of Get Out, you know, I'm very, very compelled to see what happens here in Us.
I don't know what it is about this trailer, but it is just so captivating. I think the music is a big part of it, and it's so unique how he incorporated that. Mm-hmm. But the movie just looks wild. It's all over the place. There's, you know, the doppelganger family that's like attacking them. There's scenes of like bloody hallways with rabbits everywhere. I don't know what's going on, but it hooked me. I've watched it three or four times. I think it looks phenomenal, so I'm very excited for that one.
Yeah, it's up there.
So one I'm excited for coming out here is a movie called Knives Out.
That's on my list too, actually. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Well, let's dive into that one. It's got Rian Johnson as the director, who's famous for the most recent Star Wars movie, as well as Looper, which is more so why I'm excited, because I love Looper. And he pieced together a pretty remarkable story, in my opinion, for that one. And on top of that, it's got a great cast of people that are pretty tied into franchise movies that I'm excited to see them kind of breaking away from that a little bit. It's got Daniel Craig, Ana de Armas, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Christopher Plummer, Toni Collette. Huge cast. And the premise on IMDb is, actually, it's pretty much unknown. It's described as a modern murder mystery in a classic whodunit style. But just between the cast and the director, I'm all in on this one.
Yeah, you know, I'm sold. You know, it's not a whole bunch is out there. Looks like it's going to be a Thanksgiving, you know, time release, which I'm sure will do some good numbers compared to what else is out there. But yeah, the cast alone has me hooked. Not even just the bigger names. You know, you already rattle off Jamie Lee Curtis, Chris Evans, and Daniel Craig, Michael Shannon. But you know, Christopher Plummer, you know, stalwart in the movie industry. You already mentioned Toni Collette. Great actor as well. But even some of the smaller people, like Catherine Langford, she was great in Love, Simon. Lakeith Stanfield, you know, really an up-and-comer in Hollywood today. And Don Johnson from Miami Vice fame, you know, he's in this movie. And even the main star of It, Jaden Lieberher, you know, he's in this movie too. So it seems like it's got a little bit of everything for everyone. Some really entrenched, you know, Hollywood icons, but some up and comers that are looking to make their way too, and have done a lot of things prior to this that have been really, really good.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. It's got a lot of promise. I can't wait to see the first trailer whenever that's set to come out. But it should be quite a unique movie with a huge cast. What else we got on your list, Mark?
This movie is coming out in the end of March. It's called Captive State, the sci-fi thriller. When I've seen the trailer, I hope they don't come out with any more trailers, because it's that perfect trailer for me where, you know, it's kind of like a mashup or a mix of Independence Day meets, I think, The Purge. Looks like we are taken to a futuristic society where, you know, crime has been reduced, but there's been a cost for that. It looks like maybe we're worshiping extraterrestrials, and I don't know exactly what the whole, you know, story is, but very, very compelled with this movie. It's directed by Rupert Wyatt, who has done Rise of the Planet of the Apes, you know, really restarting that reboot of that movie, of that trilogy. He did something else that I think was pretty popular, too. The Escapist, I haven't seen that. He did The Gambler, which I didn't like in 2014, but I still had some name clout to it. But yeah, if you've seen this trailer, I guess that's the easiest way for me to describe it. Looks a little bit like Independence Day meets The Purge. John Goodman's in it. Vera Farmiga. Machine Gun Kelly looks like he's actually the lead. I don't know how that will be, but he's been getting a lot into movies lately. James Ransom from Sinister. Keke Lane, who's just did a marvelous job in a movie I saw, If Bill Street Could Talk, and Ashton Sanders. He was the middle child in Moonlight. So also a big cast, not necessarily a stacked name cast if you compare it to what we just talked about in Knives Out, but still a cast that's is kind of on the up and up in Hollywood too. So I'm very excited. I like sci-fis. Seems to be pretty original. So I want to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those movies where you recognize like everybody in it from something. Just as I scroll through, you know, more of the cast, Kevin Dunn, James Ransone, definitely people that you're going to recognize from smaller parts they've had. But man, I was tempted to put this one on my list. The only reason I didn't is because the trailer, I mean, it's a great trailer. I think it just leaves so much up in the air that I was a little hesitant to put it on there. But I'm definitely pumped to see what we get from this movie. It looks really good.
Right.
Another one I've got is Triple Frontier. Have you seen the trailer for this one?
I have not. No, I have not.
Okay, well, I think this is a Netflix movie set to come out March 15th. But essentially, the premise is, I'll rattle it off here really quick, is five former Special Forces operatives reunite to plan a heist in a sparsely populated multi-border zone of South America. And it's got a great cast, which was my main draw to it. It's got Ben Affleck, Pedro Pascal, who I'm obsessed with from Game of Thrones, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, and Garrett Hedlund. So I think those guys are all like the Special Forces operatives that are working together. Directed by J.C. Chandor. I believe he did A Most Violent Year. I think he's got a couple other recognizable ones. Margin Call, All Is Lost. So nothing huge. I'm kind of hoping this is his big breakthrough movie. But he has been nominated for an Oscar, so you know, I think there's some certain clout to his name. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for this one just based on the cast.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I don't think I've seen the full-on trailer, but I have. I think they've done like some TV spots. So yeah, the more I think about it, I'm down for this too. Well, I've been delving a little bit into Netflix. My sister has, you know, lent me her login. I haven't really gotten to many of the TV shows yet, but I do have access to it now, and I'm kind of using it a little more. So nice. When it comes to heist movies, when it comes to, you know, actions, they're usually one of my favorite as far as subgenres go. So I would definitely be checking this one out. I really like Oscar Isaac a lot, and you know, I'd like to see Charlie Hunnam, you know, get some more entrenched love in Hollywood. We talk a lot about King Arthur and how that was, that's one of those, you know, we like it, but not other people do. So, you know, I want to see him really do well, cement himself in Hollywood. And Garrett Hedlund, you know, he's kind of, I feel like he's been around forever, but he was just born in 1984, but he's done so many other things. And yeah, I feel he's kind of forgotten too. He did Tron, he did Four Brothers, he did Mudbound. So he's actually got, I think, a little more, you know, talent than people realize. So, yeah, long story short, I'm in on this movie. I'm in on this movie just off of the summary.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten a lot of marketing love so far, I don't think. But I can, yeah, I'm excited to see what they come up with. Like you said, a heist action movie, I'm always a big fan of. So hopefully they really bring it for this one.
Cool.
All right, what else we got, Mark?
Well, I think we'll keep it on the Netflix, theme, and a movie that I'm very excited for, just because he's my favorite actor right now, is Velvet Buzzsaw. That's coming in a couple weeks, apparently, if IMDb is correct, February 1st, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, John Malkovich, Billy Magnussen, Toni Collette, Rene Russo, and David Diggs. And if you are familiar with Nightcrawler, directed by Dan Gilroy, Nightcrawler was my favorite movie of 2014, and I was flabbergasted, still am, that it did not get the love that it got, at award season time. I maintain that Gyllenhaal not only should have been nominated for Best Actor, I think he should have won it that year. But regardless, this movie brings back Rene Russo and Jake Gyllenhaal in the same movie. David Diggs was really good in a movie called Blindspotting last year. And the summary is pretty basic. Just big money artists and mega collectors pay a high price when art collides with commerce. It's tagged as a horror thriller. So just off of that alone, with how this premise could go, I've kind of heard some small things already, and it sounds like it could be compared to a movie called The Player in like 1990, 1991, starring Tim Robbins. It's like kind of a meta analysis on Hollywood. It's not a bad movie. It's actually really good. But yeah, I like Dan Gilroy. I love Nightcrawler. I love Rene Russo. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. So this is one on my radar.
Interesting. I haven't heard anything about this one, but man, the cast is awesome.
Yeah. And I will watch this about anything that Jake Gyllenhaal will do. And they're tagging it as a horror thriller. So I don't know what that's going to mean and what that's going to ultimately, how it's going to play out in the movie. But written and directed by Dan Gilroy. So I am all in on this movie for sure.
That's weird. And we don't have any trailer for it yet, do we?
It looks like we don't have any trailer for it. If they don't release it, it's not going to play a huge issue for me. But the production has a statement that says it's set in the world of contemporary art in Los Angeles. It's got a Robert Altman-like large ensemble cast. It's got the Player vibe to it, a large cast moving around from person to person as we move through this world. Stories being told through these different characters. So, and my takeaway is maybe it could be something where it just doesn't click with a lot of different people. Because maybe it might be like a meta-analysis on, Hollywood, maybe looking at it through a different lens. But I'm all in. I can't wait for this movie. It was supposed to be released in October, I believe, of last year, but they pushed it back to February of this year.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Well, man, this is like exactly what I was hoping to get out of this conversation today, is just a low-key movie that, great cast that I haven't heard of for 2019. So this is awesome. Unfortunately, I will not be giving that to you because I chose all pretty well-known movies. But I'm looking at the next few on my list, and it's ridiculous. But all right, so another one that I got, I think it definitely falls into the blockbuster realm, but couldn't help it. I'm a sucker for anything Dwayne Johnson, so I had to go with Hobbs and Shaw here. Spinoff from the Fast and Furious franchise. I think a lot of people just gained interest in Statham and The Rock's dynamic together. On top of that, it's got a great cast. It's got Idris Elba, who's going to be the antagonist here. And then I think a couple female leads in Isaac Gonzalez and Vanessa Kirby, who are both kind of newcomers that are starring in some big movies. And then it's got David Leitch directing. So I don't know. Mark, is this one that you're pretty excited for?
I am, actually. Fast 8, it was one of those ones, to me, it was okay. But, I think it is a movie that very much missed Walker, and it felt like it was a little aimless for that for long stretches of that movie. The one thing I'm excited about this movie is obviously David Leitch is directing. He's done. He co-did John Wick, and he did Deadpool 2, which you love. I don't love, but there's some things I like about it. But he's a good action director. And the one thing that's very excited me about this movie is a statement he said, that he said it's going to feel different from the Fast and Furious franchise. You know, it sounds to me, with that takeaway, it's going to be a little more grounded, or at least that's my takeaway. So still going to be an action movie, but it's going to very much exist kind of separately from that whole F&F, which is cool to me.
Yeah, I mean, the movies were getting a little too over the top and just a little too goofy and ridiculous. And not to say, you know, too much for my liking. I still enjoy them. But if they could simplify things a little bit and just bring a certain realism and seriousness back to it, that's exactly what I'm looking for. So hopefully Lights yep. delivers on that.
Yeah, and I think you will. I think you will. I'm excited. It'd probably be like one of the top five movies I'd be looking forward to in the summer if we, you know, did that list, or at least in the top 10. So I'm very excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mark. And what do we have rounding out your list then?
Okay, so this movie is done by none other than Quentin Tarantino. It is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And the synopsis goes, a faded TV actor and a stunt double embark on an odyssey to make a name for themselves in the film industry during the helter-skelter reign of terror in 1969 Los Angeles. Comedy drama, looks like expected to come August of this year. Starring Margot Robbie, Kurt Russell, Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Al Pacino, Dakota Fanning, Timothy Oliphant, Lorenzo Izzo, James Marsden. There's a couple different other names that I haven't heard that are going to make an appearance, such as James Remar, Scoot McNairy, and Tim Roth. So obviously a huge cast. You're usually going to get two things with a Quentin Tarantino movie. You're going to get a lot of the N-word, and you're going to get some really good dialogue. You know, he's probably one of the best directors at just, you know, really wanting to make viewers hear more about how his characters talk and, you know, the overall takeaways from what's going on that front. So, yeah, he doesn't do a lot of movies. Usually seems like he does one every 3 or 4 years, last one being The Hateful Eight. So it's an event anytime Tarantino releases a movie.
Yeah, he might be my favorite director, right up there with the likes of Christopher Nolan. Pulp Fiction's one of my all-time favorites, and he's one of the few directors out there that can get me to sit through a three-hour movie that's almost entirely comprised of dialogue, just because of how interesting and unique he makes his films. So I'm really excited for this one, and I can't wait to see kind of the feel and the direction that he takes with it.
Yeah, just going off of some of the set photos that they've got on IMDb, it looks awesome. So if you got some time, check those out. But yeah, I don't go on my way much to check out trailers, but once this one comes out, I will love to see just what the overall tone and feel of this movie is going to be like.
Yeah, and I'll be excited just to hear like kind of how he has Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt sounding in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And last one I've got on my list, because I also had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is Gemini Man. It's, I think, Will Smith's going to be his third movie of the year. He's got another animated one coming out, and there's another Will Smith movie in 2019, right?
Pretty sure. No, I know he's doing The Genie in Aladdin.
Oh my gosh, thank you. His biggest movie of the year. Drawn a huge blank there. it's a movie that's got kind of a unique premise. It's like an aging hitman is trying to kill a clone who's like coming after him, like a younger version of himself. It's got Clive Owen in it. I think Mary Elizabeth Winstead as well. And what really makes me, kind of curious about this one is the fact that it's got such a renowned director like Ang Lee directing it. Of what's, you know, looking like it's going to be a sci-fi film. And Ang Lee's won multiple Oscars. He won for Life of Pi. He won for Brokeback Mountain. He was nominated for, maybe Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which I've never seen, but I think it's a pretty action-heavy movie. So I really just can't wait to see the kind of direction that he takes with this and what the movie looks like. All right, well, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode of Cinema Recap. Thanks for joining in as we kick off 2019. And please join us next week for our next review of the box office.
Cinema Recap is a proud member of That Moment In Podcast Network. Find all your favorite shows over on the site thatmomentin.com, We are available on iTunes, Spotify, Player FM, Radio Public, Stitcher, Podomatic, everywhere. Just search That Woman's In. Thank you all for listening.